written and spoken word, may we come to know the living word, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Okay, we got to the end of chapter 6 of John. How many weeks have we been on this? Does someone keep a count? 5 weeks. Priests, some priests, tend not to like this because how much more can we talk about the bread of life? Marianne was telling me, we're running out of hymns about the bread of life. 5 weeks is enough. Now, even though it's difficult, I've tried to maintain talking about the same thing for all these weeks. Because I think if Jesus was so insistent, there was something there. And he wanted to challenge us to go deeper. And I think Jesus talked about this. I am the bread of life. Using these extreme language. Eat my body, drink my blood. Like cannibalistic. We were talking about that last week. Why is he doing this? I believe he's trying to push us. To push us to get out of our way of thinking and to go deeper. He is shaking us a bit, saying these outrageous words, drink my blood, eat my flesh, as a way to awaken us and to go deeper to something. And what is that something? Whatever it is, some could not understand it. Today we hear, many disciples said, this is too much. Jesus, you've lost us here. I'm sorry. Goodbye. And they left. They could not stand. These words were too much. And today we witness that these words for many, it says many disciples, could not stand it. So what is what Jesus is trying to get? What is his message? What is he trying to challenge us to believe and to, more important than believe, to experience? And for me at least, it's this first verse of today's reading. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood, we've heard this over and over and over. But then he adds, abide in me and I in them. Just listen to that. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood, abide in me and I in them. For me, that is the heart of the message of today's gospel passage, and I think for me the whole message of this bread of life preaching of Jesus. It is the longing of the master who's saying, if anything remains, what I long, what I desire, what I wish, please abide in me and I will abide in you. Abide, remain, rest, live in me as I want to live in you. The message paraphrase says, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood, you enter into me and I into you. You are one with me and I am one with you. And where did this longing of Christ to abide in us comes from? And I was meditating in the Gospel of John from the beginning. John begins his Gospel by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. For John, Jesus was the one who had experienced from the beginning a deep connection with God, whom he called the Father, Abba. And from the beginning, throughout the whole Gospel, Jesus over and over tells and shares his experience of deep, deep unity with God. Just to say a little of the verses, John 10:30, he says, the Father and I are one. John 10:38, the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. And in the 14th chapter, believe in me, that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. So from the beginning, the Jesus that John is presenting us is one who has this deep experience of connection, of unity with God. Now, if we leave it at that, that's fun and cool, and that's pretty awesome that Jesus feels that way. But I think what Jesus is telling us today is Yes, I experienced this deep unity with God, and I want you to experience it too. And that, I think, is the whole message of the bread of life. It says, I know I am one with my Father, and I want you to experience the same. Eat of me. Eat my flesh. Drink my blood was another way of saying, this is the whole goal of my preaching. I want you to truly experience and feel that you are one with me and one with God. In John chapter 14, verse 20, he says, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. In the beautiful priestly prayer, chapter 17 of John, Jesus prays just before his arrest and crucifixion. He prays to God saying, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us. I in them, you in me, that they may become completely one. So for me, this language of unity, of eating his flesh and his blood, is another way of saying, I wish that you truly experience this deep unity with me and this deep unity with God, whom he calls the Father. Last week, I gave this metaphor of the wax. Two pieces of wax that are joined together. And I put it in the end in your bulletins. If you looked at it, I want to invite you to say it together with me. This beautiful quote by Cyril of Alexandria on page 6. And in this quote, I think it contains the message that Christ is inviting us to feel and to believe of abiding. Let's say it together. The first one just after the part that says sermon. For he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. For as if one should join wax with other wax, he will surely see the one and the other. In like manner, he who receiveth the flesh of our Savior Christ and drinketh his precious blood, as he saith, is found one with him, commingled as it were, and inmingled with him through the participation, so that he is found in Christ, Christ again in him. Do you see that? It's a beautiful image. Like two pieces of wax, if you put them together, one is imprinted with the other. And that is what Christ, I think, is inviting us to share, to truly feel and experience and believe that we are one. There's a little ritual that we do in church. Some of you might have noticed. When I prepare the altar, prepare the chalice, you will do this, no, I'll do it. And I'll put the chalice and I'll put the wine, and I'll drop a little drop of water in it. In the old times, it was a simply practical thing because wine was pretty awful, and they said that adding a little water made it a little bit more palatable. But Christians started developing symbolic, metaphorical meanings of this ritual. And I put there in your bulletins a beautiful quote what it means for some people. This is a symbolic gesture, but it has a deep meaning. Cyprian, a bishop of Carthage in Africa, wrote this, and this was written way back in the 3rd century. He said, in the water is understood the people, but in the wine is showed the blood of Christ. But when the water is mingled in the cup with wine, the people is made one with Christ. And the assembly of believers is associated and conjoined with him on whom it believes. Which association and conjunction of water and wine is so mingled in the Lord's cup that that mixture cannot anymore be separated. Nothing can separate us from Christ. So in that little gesture, that drop of water, it symbolizes you and me. And when that little drop of water falls in the wine and it just is part, there's no way of taking away the water. It is the symbol of this abiding, this longing of Christ saying, I wish that you are in me just as a drop of water dissolves in the wine. That we are truly, truly one, deeply united. Last night, some of you were at the picnic, which was inside. But it was a wonderful celebration. As we were talking at 8 o'clock, we were talking, where do I experience this abiding in Christ? And some of the people were saying, last night I felt that abiding. That last night as we were eating together and laughing and dancing and eating and celebrating, it was a way of feeling, experiencing this deep abiding in each other as a community and as a community in Christ. You know, I'm going to invite you to think, where do you experience this abiding in Christ? What are the spiritual practices that help us experience and believe that we are called to abide in Christ in us? What are those practices that we do?
Communion.
Communion. Coming up, receiving that little piece of bread, that little bit of wine, and in that symbolic gesture that goes back centuries, you experience this connection. Christ literally abiding in me and me in Christ. Communion, the Eucharist. Where else?
Openly praying for one another.
Praying for one another, intercessing for one another. What else? Catherine?
The Nicene Creed, where we all express our belief together, our similar assemblies together.
The creed that comes way back, which is this summary of the whole story of salvation that unites us in this storytelling. That's how I like to look at the Nicene Creed. It's this storytelling condensed in these little words that go back, back, back. Okay. What else?
Activities
that the church provides, and maybe even outside of the church too, maybe. Where else? Nancy?
Connecting,
listening, to another. Emily?
The way that we help each other and reach out to each other when they have needs.
Helping, reaching out to each other when people have needs and trying to meet those needs. And you feel this deep connection abiding in each other and in Christ. Any else? Stuart?
Being still and saying the Jesus prayer.
Being still, saying the Jesus prayer.
And calm.
Yeah. Resting, calm. Anyone else? June wanted to raise her hand, no? Okay.
Well,
let's, might as well.
I'm still stuck on the old definition of the word abide.
Tell me about it.
To me, the old edition, old definition of it was to put all your weight on it. And I think that's what people do, or what I do anyway. When you have problems and you can just put all your weight and your problems.
Oh, beautiful. Put all your weight. Rest. Nice. Okay. In times of grief and sorrow, sense and suffering. Yeah. Well, that's what I was looking for. When you go out, there's a basket out there. Our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, is inviting us to meditate on seven spiritual practices. He's calling it the way of love. I invite you to take this home and take a look at it. And he mentions seven practices that are contained in what we've all been saying. But I would like just to mention them briefly. Seven words are turn, learn, pray, worship, bless, go, and rest. Turn, pause, listen, choose to follow Christ. Learn. Reflect on scriptures, on the stories, especially about Jesus' life and teachings. Pray. Dwell intentionally with God each day. Worship. Gather in community weekly to thank, to praise, and to draw near God. Bless. Share faith and unselfishly give and serve others. Go, cross boundaries, listen deeply, and live like Jesus lived. And finally, rest. Receive the gift of God's grace, peace, and restoration. So today, as we're invited to abide in God's love and let God abide in us, I invite you to consider, what are those spiritual practices that give you that sense of deep abiding? Let us pray. O source of life, you feed us as a mother with the spiritual milk of your love, and you deliver us from darkness to light. Encompass us in the circle of your protection, that secure in your sustaining power, we may find the wisdom and the strength to challenge the evils of our time, as Paul said in Ephesians, that we may struggle against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil. Amen.